John, in this proof, John is like the type of a church, rapture prior to the tribulation period, in Revelation 6. Rapture, the doctrine of rapture states there will be a sudden return of Christ in the clouds to physically snatch away of the followers of Jesus Christ. Physically snatch. Rapture, you will not find the word rapture in the Bible, but caught up. Only the followers of Jesus on earth who are still alive and sometime prior to the state of tribulation will be caught up, taken up, so that the believers of the bride of Christ will not experience the devastating events of the tribulation, of the great tribulation. We do not go through the great tribulation. So Jesus will come suddenly in the clouds, his appearance. That is not his second coming. That's a different event. The church is caught up, taken away. Jesus appears in the clouds. Jesus' second coming is when he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives. That's the second coming. His appearance is when he appears in the clouds and he calls us up. The door of heaven is opened up to receive the bride of Christ. We are caught up, taken out before the tribulation. Because what is tribulation? Judgment, wrath. What kind of loving father would allow his children go through wrath? Unless you're a sick father, you don't want to allow your children go through wrath. So Revelation 19:11 to 16, that's when Jesus comes back with the bride. Jesus will be riding on a white horse, and his bride will be riding a white horse as well, but following Christ, and we'll be wearing white linen. And so what does white linen represent in the Bible? Righteousness, purity. So Revelation 19 is the second coming of Christ prior to the millennium kingdom. So the rapture can happen at any time. This is why we need to be ready and prepared, because we don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return, of his appearing. I need to watch myself on that because I don't want to confuse. When he appears, we don't know the day or hour that he's going to appear and take the church out. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 18. Who has that? Okay, ready, sir?
Okay. All right. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Caught up, right? We're caught up. So whoever's remaining alive in the Lord, the dead in the grave, right? So we know when they have died, their spirits are in heaven. But when we see the bodies come up, what bodies are those? The glorified body. Because we know these bodies that we have are sinful bodies. And we know when we surrender our lives to Christ, we still sin. Do we sin still? If we said we don't sin, we're lying. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess that you never don't sin, then you make out God to be a liar. God can't lie. So we still sin in these bodies. So when a person dies, his spirit goes to heaven, this flesh is dead, and it decomposes, comes worm food. And then so if we die before the church is caught up, we are given a glorified body. That's what we see. We see glorified bodies coming up. And then the spirit of that person comes, and they join together in the air. So your spirit rejoins your glorified body. And then those who are still alive when Christ comes, you get a glorified in a twinkle of an eye. We are transformed and you're given a glorified body in the air. Isn't that something? So no more sin. We will not sin. Have you ever wondered? It's like, Lord, is there going to be sin in heaven? It's not. It's not going to be any sin. We're not going to have any lustful thoughts. We're not going to have any bitterness, resentment. We won't be able to sin. We will no longer be able to sin because we are given a glorified body. That's good news. Freedom. Yes. And we can praise God for who He is. Right? This earthly flesh does not like to praise God at times. Right? It's a challenge. If you want to be honest, hopefully we'll be honest and right? We have battles. The Word of God says put off the old things and put on the new. So we need to die to the old. But we put on the new and we say, Lord, help me to praise you. Lord, help me to surrender to you. But when we get that glorified body, my goodness, we're going to be praising God like it's nobody's business. God, in his miraculous way, gives those people who died previously of his appearance glorified bodies. I don't know how God's going to do that, but he says that. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Who has that one? 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go.
Okay, 51-52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
Isn't that wonderful? That's a relief. Here we are. We are given these glorified bodies. And I love how verse 51 says, I tell you a mystery. A mystery sometimes is hard to explain, right? It's a mystery. Here it is. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We don't know it's a mystery. We can't fully comprehend how God is going to change us in a twinkle of an eye or raise the dead with give glorified bodies to them. It's a mystery. We're not going to fully understand it until we get to heaven. So that's why it's called a mystery. I don't know how I'm going to get a glorified body. I don't know how God's going to do it. But we'll be changed. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Romans 10:8-10. Who wants to read that? I didn't give that to the boys, did I? No? Romans. So who wants to read Romans 10:8-10? Oh, look at that. Okay.
However, what else does it say? This message is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we spread. If you declare that Yeshua is Lord and believe that God brought him back to life, you will be saved. By believing, you receive God's approval, and by declaring your faith, you are saved.
Amen. Professing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Professing and believing the Word of God. We don't have to do anything but profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that He died and rose again. He continually intercedes for me. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who called us. He's calling everyone in this world, but not everybody receives salvation because people will turn their back. But he gives every opportunity to everybody to come to him. Romans 2:22. Oh, let's see what side of the church gets it first. You have it? Yeah? Okay, here. Okay. So Romans 2:22.
You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?
Before we come to Christ, we are all sinners, right? We are full of sin. Well, you should have went to 24, actually, 23 to 24, because we missed out a bunch of that. Okay, go to 23 to 2.
23?
Yeah, and 24.
You who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written.
Yeah. An unholy person does not seek God. We all have fallen short. None of us we're still not perfect. If I said I was perfect right now, I would be a liar. As much as I have a couple shirts, you know, so perfect, it almost scares me. My wife doesn't like those shirts. But we're being perfected. We're not perfect until we appear, meet Jesus in the air. Then we are given a glorified body. We are being perfected right now. He's dealing with sinful natures, stuff in our flesh, so that we become more like Christ, become in the likeness of Christ. It's amazing how God works. It's amazing when you read the Word of God, how much you learn every day about Him. I was sharing with Sam, it's amazing. I've been reading, you read through Scripture, and it's amazing when you go and read that book again, something else pops up. God reveals something new and something fresh every day. He's giving you that Word. Matthew 24:37. 42. Who has wants to read Matthew 24:37-42? Huh. You guys sitting on your Bibles? Okay.
When the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, and getting married, till the day that Noah went into his ship. They were not aware of what was happening until the flood came and swept all of them away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes again. At this time, two men will be working in the field. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Two women will be working at a mill. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Therefore, be alert, because you won't know on what day your Lord will return.
Amen. Talking about the rapture, being caught up. Here's Jesus talking to them, saying, you be prepared. Look at the days of Noah. People laughed at Noah for building an ark because they'd never seen a flood. They'd never seen rain on the land. And they think, man, this guy's foolish. Right? People are going to call you a bunch of fools for trusting in God, trusting in the Lord Jesus. They will make fun of you. But take heart. Know that you're on the right ship. Right? There's going to be times, we're going through times, and if people think, man, you're foolish, why are you trusting in a God you can't see? I do hear him. I heard his voice because I asked him into my life. He's worked miracles in my life. He's changed my heart. He's changed my attitude. He changed my perspectives. He changed my language, my behavior. He gives me a love and a passion for others. I know God exists. Here he is, and he's saying there's going to be this time. All these things are going, think of today. Is that happening today? More and more lawlessness and people falling away. Think of during this time of Noah. Just think, even Abraham died just before that. And he was a man who was created by God. And God formed him by dust and breathed in him. He could, can you imagine the stories he told to people, his grandkids, great-grandkids, that he walked with God, that their grandma walked with God, they spent time with God? But yet, you see, during the time of Noah, people got, they fell away. The depravity of man is there. In Revelation 1 to 3, the church is mentioned 19 times. And the church is not spoken again until Revelation 22, 16, after the tribulation. So where's the church during that time? In heaven. And we're always, when we're with the Lord. The door open, spoken, speaks of the church, Revelation 4, 1, it says, when the door opens, it speaks of the church going up to be received by the Lord, who's calling and inviting the bride and the believers to come. He's calling us. That's in Revelation 4:1. Revelation 19:11 says, this is another time that heaven stands open, is when Jesus comes down. And that's the second coming. The voice of God is like a trumpet. Jesus is calling us. The only other time that heaven, reference of heaven is opening up, really, is when the two witnesses in Revelation 11, Jesus, heaven opens up and he says, he calls them up. The two witnesses are called up. So who has 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 to 11? Does anybody have that one? 1 Thessalonians 5. Then verses 5 to 11. You want to read that one? Do you have that, Jeff? Okay, you can read that one.
5 to 11?
Yeah.
For you are all sons of light and sons of day, we who are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him.
Amen. We get to live with him forever. Not appoint us to wrath. I underline that. That's another about pre-rapture, pre-tribulation. Is that we do not go through wrath. So the last scripture we'll close with is Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 5 to 8. I can read it. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "John, write these things, for these words are true and faithful." This is Jesus telling John, right? "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." Do we thirst for the Lord? And I ask every day, "Lord, help me to be thirsty for you." He who overcomes, talks about who overcomes. This is why we run that race. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, we run this race, right? We run this race. And verse 7 of Revelation 21:5 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." We need to be overcomers. Press in. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Encourage one another. Stay in fellowship with one another. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, but there's a but in this. Verse 8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have no part in heaven. But they shall be thrown into the lake of fire. So this speaks of holiness in heaven. You have to be born again, given a new life, glorified body. None of these people, liars and fornicators, unbelieving, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, none of those people will be in heaven. But their destination is in the lake of fire, tormented for eternity. And it's amazing how Satan and the demons will be tormented forever. I can't even fathom that. The lake will burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It talks about the second death, and that's the second death. We are given us a new life in Christ. My prayer is that we encourage one another to stay true to the word. Not to get fretful, worrisome, but take hold of what the word of God says. Be encouraged today, knowing God is preparing us for the future. So, Father, I pray that your word would continue to penetrate our hearts and open up our eyes to see your truth, take hold of your truth, and to abide in your truth, to apply your truth to our life. And, Lord, when we feel weak and weary, my hope is that, Lord, that we would call out to you and call out to one another for encouragement, to be strengthened by your word. So, Father, I pray that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit today. Father God, I pray that we would encourage and build up one another in the faith. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that how it's alive and active. And I thank you that you're preparing us for the future. Lord, help us to be listening to your voice more and more every day. In Jesus' name, amen.